I just can't believe that it's already Memorial Day. Seems like we were just celebrating Christmas and New Year's, and here it is already Memorial Day. But it's an important holiday. I love the fact that we have time to go cook out. My neighbor did this week and brought us over a little sliver of what he was cooking, and we appreciated that. And love the fact that we get to go hang out with family and friends. But that's not what it's really all about, is it? It's a time for us to remember. Memorial Day was a holiday that was established or recognized right after the Civil War, when we've lost more men and women, I think because we were fighting each other in any other time of our history. A dark, dark day. Everybody would go and put flowers, ribbons, decorate the graves of folks that they lost in that horrible, horrible war. I don't think it became a holiday until 1967. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what I read, that it was declared a national holiday. And I'm glad that we take time to remember those men and women that have given so much, that we could stand here today freely to worship. And I appreciate that sacrifice. I saw this week, and it just kind of a humbling statistic. The deaths that we suffered as in all the wars that we've been involved in. Again, you see here, Civil War, 498,000. I've seen statistics that say anywhere upwards to 600,000 men and women that lost their lives during that battle. And you put all that together, over 1 million deaths given so that we could choose whether or not we want to come to church or not. Again, I'm grateful that you've taken advantage of the freedoms that have been given to you. That source came from the Department of Defense and the Department of Veteran Affairs. But I want you to hear me. I don't believe it's an accident that any one of us were born into this country. If we believe in the sovereignty of God, and we believe that there's no such things as accidents, you were born here and God knew it. Just like He knows those men and women that are born in other places that are not as free as we are, that don't get to celebrate like we get to celebrate or do what we want to do. I'm grateful as a nation, that we've set aside to celebrate and honor, not so much celebrate, but to remember those men and women. Because as I think about it, I think about having conversations with my grandfather, who was lucky enough to come home. But I remember conversations saying that the men that he was standing next to that weren't so fortunate had families to come back to, had plans and dreams that they had been hoping for and thinking about. They wanted to live in nice homes. They wanted to do all of those things that you and I get to do. And so again, we're grateful. Freedom comes at a high cost. Freedom's not really free, is it? Somebody had to give their life. And I think it's sad that so many of us don't remember. Conversations with folks this week at Walmart, and you talk about Memorial Day, and they tell you it's a time to go have a cookout and get time off from work. That's what they think about. But it's not just about getting off work. It's not just about cooking out. It's not just about hanging out with friends. And again, I think those things are awesome things that we get to do. But we get to do it because somebody gave their life. We get to do it because somebody paid a great sacrifice. And so let's don't forget. But I also think that it's sad that we've forgotten something else. And I'll put the we've forgotten about Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to read verses 11. I'm not sure where we're going to stop. Start with verse 11, Deuteronomy chapter 8. And because we can, will you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? Because we can do that. It's a freedom that we have in this country. Would you please stand as we read God's word together? Beware that you don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, and he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them and testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Lord, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray that your word would get into our hearts, into those secret places, into those places that we want to hang on to for ourselves. Lord, I pray that your word would go there and do a mighty work today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we read this passage of Scripture, and we think about what it is that causes us to forget, I think the modern day church tends to forget a lot of things. We forget that God's God and that we're not. We forget that he is sovereign. We forget that he's almighty. We forget that he's absolutely in control of everything that takes place in this world. We forget that Jesus is Lord. We forget that he alone, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father unless he comes through me. We forget that God's word is dependable, that we can trust it. We forget that it's through his word that we're saved. Paul says faith comes from hearing. Hearing comes from the word of God. We forget that it's through his word that God changes us. God sanctifies us. That means he sets us apart. He transforms us. It's through his word that all of that takes place in our life. I want you to listen to something that R.C. Sproul said. He is a deep, deep theologian, deep thinker. Look at what he said, and I hope you can read that. The majority of Americans claim to be Christian, and only a small percentage claim to be atheist. But the truth is, many within the church are functional atheists. He said they would never say that they don't believe in God, but in their lives, they live like there is no God. They profess with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. And so as he said that, I want to show you something. Here's what atheists do. Atheists says they don't pray, they don't live for God, they don't believe in God. But check this out. Put the next one up, Ricky. Christians, don't pray like we ought to. We say we believe in it. We say we believe in God, but we don't live like we should. We say we believe in the Bible. We don't read it. So what's the difference? There's not a whole lot of difference between an atheist and what R.C. Sproul calls a functional atheist. Atheists truly believe that there is no God, and a functional atheist say they believe, but their lives don't shout it that they believe. And look at what he goes on to say. He says, basically, functional atheist is trying to hedge his or her bets just in case. They become aware of the possibility that there is a God and that he's aware of the possibility that God is real. And so he's trying to play the odds and cover all of his bases. But the problem is, the Bible says it doesn't work that way. Church, God didn't give us the fence option. We don't have an option of straddling the fence. In fact, here's what Jesus says. Those of you who are not with me, what does Jesus say? You're against me. Jesus says if you're not hot, then you're cold. In fact, if you're just kind of riding the fence, what does it do to Jesus? Revelation says it makes him sick at his stomach and he wants to spew you out of his mouth. All through the New Testament, you see where God separates the sheep from the goats. He separates the wheat from the chaff. And he says, this is my body. This is my children. Depart from me. I never knew you. There's no middle ground. We don't get that option. We're for him or against him. And so I think a functional atheist is, as you look at what Moses said in Deuteronomy, a functional atheist is somebody that's forgotten about God. How do you forget about God? Go ahead and put that next question on. What does it mean to forget? When I forget, it slips my mind. When I forget that I tell Elizabeth that I'm going to make announcements before, and I get too busy talking, and then she has to eyeball me and say, because it slipped my mind. When we forget about somebody, what happens is our mind's not just empty. Well, most of our minds are not just empty. What happens is something else has taken its place, right? Something else has slipped in there. We're thinking about something. It's just not what we're supposed to be thinking about. It means that I set my mind on somebody or something else other than God. And I'm afraid that we do that too many times. I'm ashamed to tell you that as a pastor, how many times I go Monday through Saturday, and Jesus is not the first priority in my life. Monday through Saturday, other stuff slips up in that place where he ought to be. And then Sunday, we make him the number one thought. And then we wonder why our lives are like they are. Why we're weak and powerless as we are. And so I'd say as a church, College Avenue Baptist Church, we need to be careful that we don't get that way. That we don't act that way. That we don't think that way. So what do we do? How do we keep from being a functional atheist? And I think this passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy 8, gives us two very clear mandates. And the first one is this: we're not going to forget if we obey. Look at what he says in verse 11. This is the New American Standard. Beware that you do not forget the Lord by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. I like how the New American Standard says that. Be careful that you don't forget by not doing what he says. That's why we forget. We forget because we don't keep his commandments. We forget because we don't keep his statutes. We don't keep his ordinances. We don't say what's important like he says what's important. We don't do the things that he tells us to do. Listen to the way the Message says it. I think I have it on the screen. The Message says it this way. Make sure you don't forget God, your God, by not keeping His commandments, His rules, His regulations that I'm commanding you today. Make sure that when you eat and when you're satisfied, when you build pleasant houses and settle in, see your herds and your flocks flourish and more money coming in, watch your standard of living going up and up. Make sure you don't become so full of yourself and your things that you forget God, your God. I remember we had a president that said, you didn't build that. You didn't do that. You're right. We didn't. God did. God blessed us. God gave us those things. God supplied the needs. God's always been faithful. And then he reminds us of what God's done for us. Look what he said, that God who delivered you from the Egyptian slavery, the God who led you through the huge, fearsome wilderness, those desolate and bad lands crawling with fiery snakes and scorpions, the God who gave you water gushing from a hard rock, the God who gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something that your ancestors had never heard of, in order to give you a taste of the hard life, to test you so that you would be prepared to live well in the days ahead of you. That's us, isn't it? That's so us. We tend to forget when we get comfortable and cozy. I do. When everything's running smooth, I forget. I forget that it's God who's doing that. That it's God's sovereign hand at work in doing that. You remember the Lord's Prayer? As I was thinking about this, the Lord's Prayer came to my mind, and then it dawned on me, wow, look at what the Lord's Prayer says. And say it with me if you want to. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Watch this. Give us this day our daily bread. Stop right there. When are we supposed to ask God to meet our needs? Every single day. And we don't do it. When things are running smooth, and I got plenty of groceries in the pantry, and money in the bank, and things are running like it's supposed to, guess what? I have a tendency not to go to Him and say, give me this day my daily bread. I tend to forget. And the Lord's Prayer challenges us to daily come to Him. And when I'm not daily coming to Him, Brian Simon tends to forget. When I get content with what the world offers, then my focus turns to the world and not God. Here's what I mean. Watch this. God wants Brian Simon and this church to make disciples. What does the world want? It just wants us to be comfy and cozy. God wants us to see more people come to know Him personally as Lord and Savior. The world would say, just hang on to what you got. Just maintain the status quo. Here's the easiest one. God wants us living for Him. The world says, live for who? Me, myself, and I. And when we live like that, we forget God. I know this to be true about me. I'm a fallen person that lives in a fallen world that by heart is an atheist. By heart, we don't want anything to do with God. Scripture tells us that. And when I live that way, I tend to forget. So one way to keep from forgetting is to be obedient. To do what He says. To read His Word. Because that's the only way we know how to do what He says. We've got to spend time in His Word. And the second thing that we see in this passage of Scripture is we'll tend not to forget when we remember what he's done for us. Notice what it says in verses 14 to 15. And I think I have them on the screen. God says, the God who delivered you from the Egyptian slavery, the God who led you through the huge, fearsome wilderness, the God who provided the water that you needed, the God who fed you and took care of all of your needs. We need to remember what it is that God's done for us. And I would say to you, you know the easiest way to talk to somebody about Jesus? The easiest way to talk to somebody about Jesus is to talk about what he's done in your life. Is to talk about what he's done for you. I think it's simple as saying to the blind man that Jesus healed, you know what he said? This I know. Once I was blind, but now I see. Argue with that. I can't tell you how many folks I've talked to that says I was an alcoholic. I was addicted to this. I was addicted to that. I've been through this and I've been through that. But now I'm not anymore because of what he's done in my life. Argue with that. I was angry and bitter. But now peace lives there. And contentment. I was unfaithful, but now I'm faithful. I was an idolater, but now I love Jesus. I was lost, but now I'm found. Just tell people that about your life. That's how you talk to people about Jesus. When I think about it, what has God done for us? Look at this. He's forgiven you. He's delivered you. He's changed you. He set you free. God did that. You didn't have any control over where you were born. You didn't have any control over the family God put you in. You didn't have any control over that. God did that. We need to remind ourselves of those things. We need to be willing to share those things with other people. And so God's saying, hey, you want to keep from forgetting me? You want to know how not to forget me? Do what I say and remember what I've done for you. And you won't forget. Because here's what happened. Here's the warning. Pride will make you forget. Look what he says in verse 17. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, and guess what? It doesn't have to come out of your mouth. You can sure say it in your heart. My power and my strength, my hands made this wealth. I did all of this for me. Now, most of you would never say that out loud, would you? We show a feeling in our hearts sometime, don't we? Start monkeying with my stuff and see what happens. Think about what rises up inside of you when you start messing with yours. It's pride. I did that. That's mine. And the reality of it is, who does it belong to? It's all God's. Parents, even your kids, belong to him. Just on loan to you. To do what? Teach them how to love him. They're a gift from him. And I know too many times that my attitude about my stuff shows in my life. When the New Testament talks about Jesus, I think I've shared this before, it's 24 or 25 times, depending upon the translation that you read, 24 or 25 times the New Testament refers to Jesus as Savior. You ready for this? Over 600 times it refers to Jesus as Lord. We tend to get it backwards, don't we? We want him to be Savior, but I'll be boss. It says when we come to Christ, we come to him and we receive him as what? Savior and Lord. Lord means boss. And I need to be reminded that Jesus is Lord and Brian's not. That means he's my master. It means he's the one in control. He's the ruler. He's the boss. He owns me. He bought us with a price, the Bible reminds us. Matthew 16, Jesus said this, if anybody comes after me, he has to deny who? Himself. And he has to pick up what? The cross. We would say it in 2019, we'd say you got to deny yourself and go pick up the lethal injection. Deny yourself and go grab hold of the electric chair. All of those are instruments of what? Death. Who dies? We do. We die to self so that he can be Lord of our life. They only have one job. That's death. And so church, the purpose of Memorial Day, I think, is to remember what it cost us to be free. And it took over a million deaths for us to be able to enjoy our freedom. But which death is really important? The one. His death on the cross is why we remember. I think that every time we come to this table, what should we celebrate? Memorial Day. The reason we worship on Sunday is to do what? To celebrate his death and resurrection for us. Every Sunday ought to be Memorial Day for us as believers. The big difference between the 4th of July and Memorial Day is the 4th of July, we celebrate our freedom. We celebrate our independence. Memorial Day, we celebrate how we got it. It cost people their lives. And I don't know about you, but one day a year is not enough for anything, is it? How many of you want a bowl of ice cream one day a year? Oh, it's not enough. Bluebell, it's not enough. How many of you can afford to work one day out of the year? If you can, I want that job. How many of you can afford to mow your yard one day of the year? Some people try to get away with it, but it don't look good, does it? You can't afford to do anything one day a year. We can't afford just to remember what our freedom costs one day a year. We can't remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross just one day a year. We got to constantly remember. We have to constantly remind ourselves. And it takes work. Folks, I'm proud as I'll get out to live in the greatest country in the world. But it didn't happen by accident. In the way we keep it the greatest nation in the world, hear me, is not by taking up arms. It's not about picking the right fight. It's not about voting the right people in the Congress. It's not about voting in the right laws. It's about remembering God. That's how we keep it the greatest nation in the world. It's about remembering Him. It's about following Him. It's about obeying Him. It's about living for Him. Watch what happens when we forget. Look at what he tells us in the very last part of the verse of our text. He says, if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, you will surely perish. Here's the cool thing. God will let you chase after whatever you want to chase after. And then who do we want to blame when we get the results that we get? God's fault. No, God warned you. Say it how you want to. God told you what's going to happen if you chase after other gods, little G-O-D-S. You will surely perish. The last part of Deuteronomy, I think it's verse 20, he reminds us of what happens to the nations that chase after other gods. I just mentioned to Joe this morning as we were thinking about this passage of Scripture, when you read through the end of the New Testament on into Revelation, guess what country I don't read in there? We read about the bear a whole lot. We read about the dragons. We read about, but guess what you don't hear anything about? The eagle. And you know why I think that is? It's because we're running down a road where we're forgetting what He's done for us. And I think it's sad that the greatest country in the world is not written about in the rest of the New Testament. His church is. Those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ are. They're raptured out. They're taken out of the mess. I believe that when I read Revelation. But as a nation, we've forgotten. Would you come on and be ready to lead us in a time of invitation? I want to ask you a few questions this morning. Are we functional atheists or are we following Jesus? Do we live our lives in such a way that folks know we know who Jesus is? When we sing the hymn that Elizabeth is about to lead us in, I surrender all, do we really mean it? And I bet if we were really being honest with ourselves, I bet you there's some things in our hearts and our lives that we truly haven't surrendered to Him today. And I get it. It's hard. It's scary. Because here's what I know. As long as I hang on to that thing, whatever it is, then I can manage it. But when I let go of it, and it's out there, when God's using it, when God's in control of it, and I don't have any control over what's going to happen, that's scary. Because here's some things I thought about this morning. What if God calls me to do something that's hard? What if God tells me to give up something that I really like? What if God tells me to do something that I'm really not comfortable doing? Let me remind you of what He said in Deuteronomy. But that this is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you don't forget the Lord your God and disobey His commandments and regulations and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you become full and prosperous and have built fine homes and live in them, and your flocks and your herds or your cotton or whatever it is flourishes and multiplies, be careful. Don't become proud and forget the Lord who rescued you out of slavery. I'm reminded today that I need to remember that God is good. All the time. He's good. I need to remember that He's a good, loving, heavenly Father. And I really think that's where a lot of our issues with God stems from, is because we don't know what a good, loving, heavenly Father looks like. And that's a testimony on us, dads. We need to remember what it cost. We need to remember that it's so much better to know Him. It's so much better to love Him. It's so much better to fellowship with Him. It's so much better to serve Him than anything the world wants to give to you. It's better to have Jesus. Isn't that a great hymn? Than anything. I truly believe that. It's better to have Him than anything that the world has to offer. You know why? Because anything that the world has to offer is not going to be around long. talked to people that live over on 597 who had their houses flooded twice this week. It's gone. Talked to people in Ponca City who the water's coming over the dam and it washed away roads and streets and everything. It's gone. But guess what you can still have? Eternity. You can still have a relationship with the Lord and know peace in the midst of the storm that we sing about. You can live and know God and not let fear ruin your life. You know what fear is? Fear is the absence of love, isn't it? It's the absence of God. It's the absence of knowing Him. Because the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And who's perfect love? There's only one. Jesus Christ. This morning, if you don't have a relationship with Him, I would love to share with you how you can know Him. And I promise you, He's ready to deal with any question and anything you got to throw at Him. Let's pray. God, thank You for our time together. And Lord, we want to say thank You to all those men and women, those folks that have sacrificed so much so that I can stand here in a place and I have to worry about being arrested, being worried about what I've said, be worried about anybody coming in here and doing stuff that You've given us the right and the privilege to be able to do. So Lord, thank You for their sacrifice. There's no way we could ever repay that. No way we could ever really honor that and do what it deserves. But God, more than that, we say thank You for Your sacrifice. Thank You for living the perfect life. Thank You for being the perfect example. Thank You for being the perfect sacrifice for my sins. And Lord, thank You that You rose again, proving that Your sacrifice was worthy, proving that Your sacrifice was acceptable, that God raised You from the dead. And Lord, I pray that You would help me to live and to remember and to do what it is You've called us to do. That's how I won't ever forget You, is by keeping Your commandments and loving You and remembering what it is You've done for me. And Lord, I pray that right now, even in our midst, that Lord, that You would just get our pride and our ego out of the way, so that we could hear Your Holy Spirit talk to our hearts. And then, Lord, I pray You would help us to respond. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?